Okay.
People
Huh.
need,
So you got one. Go ahead.
yeah, so people need to be aware that out of those 100 people, less than 9% of those people, probably 8 to 7% of those people, of your own followers on your own Facebook page will actually see what you post. That Facebook really does not let all your messages be seen by all of your own followers. So what that means is that a lot of people pursue like a strategy to get a lot of likes on Facebook. They may be boosting posts or doing things where they're chasing after getting more and more followers. And it's really a fool's game because what Facebook has become, yes, it is a social media site in terms of posting pictures of your cat and your baby and your, you know, whatever it is, you know, the personal stuff. But from a business perspective, it's really no longer a social media tool. It's really an advertising outlet. And I mean, you know all the controversy that's going on right now with mining data and all that. And that's really all part of this, where Facebook is really, you know, they're in it to make money, and they're in it to sell ads and to sell access to people. And if you know how to do it correctly, it's really a good thing. But you really, I think it's just one of many tools. Facebook is a very, it's actually a more affordable than Google AdWords, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Now you can also buy, you know, you can buy ads on Twitter, you can buy ads on Instagram, which is, you know, owned by Facebook, by the way. But in terms of social media, you're really, when you post something on social media, you're really preaching to the choir. You're really promoting your stuff to the same people. So even whether it's reaching 9% of your followers or whatever, you're really talking to the same people. But when you advertise on Facebook, you are able to actually break through and advertise to people who don't follow you. And that's a very important distinction, I think. So if you're posting on Twitter regularly or Instagram or Pinterest, you're posting it to your followers, but it's not getting to new people. Unless of course somebody shares it, but you know, that's you know, it's a very, very small percentage. I mean, that's what everybody strives for. You hear about, you know, you know, everybody wants to go viral. It's very hard to go viral.
Is
You
there a
can't really bank
way,
on that.
right? Is there a way that a person can do something to, as you mentioned, you get a small percentage of people who get to see it. Is there anything a business can do to increase that number?
Yes, by buying advertising on Facebook.
Okay,
By
but
and not
that's the method
boosting
they have to
posts.
go. Not okay, not a boost post. So what you're telling us is it's not like how many that you're seeing out of the people who connect with you, like your page. It's the idea that you've got to do something in the advertising world to get it to where it's going to expose you to the additional potential customers.
Yes.
But
It
is
has to
there,
be part of the mix.
as I was looking at things, like the Twitter, the Snapchat, the LinkedIn, the Instagram, and the Pinterest, is there any of them that you would tell somebody you're wasting your time on? Just stay away from it?
Well, I would, it depends on what the business is. That's the first thing. When we work with clients who want to do social media, whether it's advertising, marketing, or, you know, posting social media type things, it really depends on the business. If you were a, you know, I don't know, I think B2B, business to businesses, they can do well on Facebook, but I think it's really does very well for B2C, business to consumer. And for instance, you can even advertise on LinkedIn, let's say. That would be a good outlet for advertising to other businesses. I wouldn't necessarily sell consumer items on LinkedIn, for instance. So really, I think it really depends on, you know, we would always want to look at, you know, who the business is, who are you trying to reach, you know, what are your, you know, what is the buyer persona that you're trying to attract.
Okay, so we can't give everybody just a across the board answer. We've got to customize it down to what their product or what their service is, and then where is that person most likely going to be that you would be able to put your message in front of them.
Exactly. That's exactly right, yes. Okay. Do you want to talk about, the differences between Google and Google AdWords and Facebook, as it relates to, keywords versus demographics?
Yeah, and I think from when I was reading your article, that seemed to be where your focus was. The idea that we've got two elephants in the room, but what I would like to do is I'd like to perhaps attack one of them quickly, in that I read an article on Forbes, and it was looking at Google and Amazon. And I was very surprised with the statistic, no way of confirming them, but I did listen to them and think, wow, this is a lot of great information here, not knowing if it's all correct, but thinking Forbes to be a reputable site. And the articles made mention of Amazon was not trying to lead in the marketplace. Instead, Amazon was trying to be the market. And it said in their statistics that 4 years ago, people who were shopping online, 40% of them would not start with Google, and I would suppose that would also be true for people who would use Chrome or Safari or Bing or what do they call IE now? Edge or something, whatever it is?
Edge.
Okay. That instead, they started at Amazon.com, completely cutting the browser, or connecting the search engine out of the mix and going straight to that. And they said, here it is a couple of years later, and Amazon is continuing to grow and grow, that they're getting so many people who are going Amazon.com for their looking to shop and not doing Chrome.com or Google.com or whatever they're going to do, that they're cutting them out of the loop. Do you have anything on that you could throw at us?
Well, again, I think that Amazon is really a huge marketplace for buying products. But if you're a construction company, or you're a lawn and garden company, or a lawyer or an accounting firm, you're not going to be advertising on Amazon.com.
Good. But if our listener to our program tonight is a service provider, then the Amazon idea doesn't quite work. But
exactly.
For those who
are product-oriented,
yes, they're listening to us, it becomes another monster in the room, shall we speak, competing against how do we get our message on it.
Yes. Even when I had my pet e-commerce business, we sold on Amazon, and Amazon is you get monster exposure, but they take a lion's share of the profit, in some cases 40% to 60%, and they have really very strict terms. When you basically sign your rights away, when you advertise on Amazon, they have the right to raise or lower prices in order to beat other pricing that you have no control over. Certain inventory requirements. They're a tough nut to deal with. So you really have to, I think, weigh carefully the benefits of selling on Amazon, because you are basically, at their mercy.
And then let me ask you this last question before we go to our first station break. I remember years ago when the Discover credit card first came out, and there were articles. Of course, at that point in time, they were all print articles. We had no internet. But there were articles that saying, do not take the Discover card, because it is owned by Sears. And Sears is watching all that you shop with, all that you do, and is then culling that information and deciding what kind of marketing pieces they're going to mail to you, since mail, that was the only option at the time, they're going to mail to you in an effort to say, hey, you can buy that same item at Sears that you bought through Gene's Pet Store, and you don't need to go to Gene's Pet Store. You know, how true is that? Don't know. The logic was there. But any information before we take a station break that you could throw in as we would look at it from the perspective of saying, well, here's Amazon, and you are selling through Amazon, of which Amazon now has all your information. Makes sense, perhaps, that at some point Amazon could just turn around and say, you know, we ought to just stock this stuff ourselves and not have that person even a part of here. We can do without them.
Well, I don't know if that's the case, but I would not be surprised if that was the case.
So as short as you could be cutting your own throat by selling on Amazon.
It's really making a deal with the devil, and you really have to figure out, is it worth the added exposure, you know, Amazon's exposure, you know, because they also own the customer, you know that. So if you're selling your product there, you're still going through their checkout system, which is part of the whole, you know, thing about dealing with Amazon. So they own your customer. It's like I said, it's really making a deal with the devil. When we did it with the pet supplies, we sold only like our highest margin items with the hope of, you know, of trying to then make them our own customer and cut Amazon out for additional purchases down the road. And I don't know how successful we really were with that.
But you were out there when we were all just starting to cut our teeth on it.
Exactly.
So as we take a station break, first one of the night, our guest tonight is Gene Sower. And Gene created a company called Samson Media. I invite you to go over and hunt up their website. It's samsonmedia.net, and it's Samson, S-A-M-S-O-N, media.net. And to get a hold of them, you dial 973-744-6621. Visit them all kinds of ways, Twitter, Facebook, their YouTube channel, and one of the other things I invite you to do is when you get to his website, read his blog. So quick station break, everybody.
This is PBN, the Profitable Business Network from Profits Plus.
So as Gene's with us tonight, Gene, let's get down to this deal. We're going to spend our money. We're going to spend a chunk of money. We're not going to touch tonight anything about dividing the money off from our traditional, the old-style television, radio, newspaper, magazine advertising. That's a subject all to its own for another night. But tonight we're talking about a business of which the majority of our listeners are retailers. We have people who are also service business. And they are going to spend dollars out in the social media world, and then we were most interested in this thing that you wrote about. Here's how Google gets it. Here's how Facebook gets it. So let's start with for those who maybe never looked at it, and tonight they're getting ready to make a decision. The phrase is called pay per click. Would you give us the rundown on that?
Yes, pay per click is pretty much what it sounds like. You know, you set up a budget and you say, okay, I want to spend $500 a month or $1,000 a month or whatever it is. And then, you know, you set up the advertising through Google or Facebook. They both are a pay-per-click model. And when somebody clicks on your ad, then you pay a certain amount to have them click on your ad. So it could cost you, let's just say, to use a round number, a dollar a click. So if you had $500 budgeted, you're basically buying 500 clicks at a dollar a click. And they both, so they would just basically, you know, keep debiting that money, you know, from the monthly amount that you've allotted.
And now, are you getting to space out as this happens, or is it, for example, if you put $500 a month in on this thing, is it what happens if all 500 click on the first day of the month?
For both of them, Google and Facebook, it's very flexible. You can say, okay, I want to do $500 and I want to spend it in one day. I want to put $500 and I want to spend it in 2 weeks. I want to put $500 up and I want to spread it out over 30 days. You can even say, I want to, you know, put up $500 and I only want the ads to run Monday through Friday on Google, you can actually, and then, you know, there's different types of targeting. In Google, you can say, I only want to spend $500 on the week, Saturdays and Sundays, in a 15-mile radius from this zip code. So you set the budget, and then when the money runs out, you know, the ads come off. So, but if you say, I want to spend $500 in 30 days, it will spread out the ads, and it will see, you know, if you're getting a lot of clicks, it may take the ad off so that you don't wind up spending all your budget at once. But let's say you had a special event coming up and you want to spend it quickly to get a lot of attention, they will actually serve your ad more frequently to make sure that the money is spent in the shorter time that's allotted.
Okay, the way you explain it sounds like we're sitting at a roulette wheel trying to pick numbers and colors.
Well, you know, it's kind of a good thing, though, because, you know, if you only have $500 and you put $500 on for a month, you know, you wouldn't spend more than $500. So it's not like the thing is just a runaway thing and you have to worry like, oh, you know, what if it spends $5,000 or something, you know. So it's kind of, they have a lot of safeguards kind of built in there, and you can actually, like I said, you can actually pinpoint, you know, when you want the ads to come on, when you want them to come off, or you can kind of leave it up to their algorithm to serve the ad for you based on some sort of overarching parameters. Like I said, like if you want it to just run Monday through Friday or daytime hours or whatever.
So in, shall we say, olden days, when a person would spend $500, using your example, on something like television, radio, or newspaper, I think many people got a very false sense of security, and that they would go out and pick up a copy of the newspaper and go, yeah, there's my ad. Or they'd turn and listen to that radio station until they finally heard their commercial playing and go, yeah, that's mine, and the same thing for TV. Oh, I see my commercial, so it's working. Of which the reality is, no, it just means you saw your ad. That's all there is to it. There's a different way of proof that with you look at the television, radio, newspaper, there's a different way you got to prove that this ad actually worked. How does a person with either the Google or Facebook, how do they find the proof that this thing actually did something for them?
Well, lots of different ways, actually. I mean, you get reports from both of them. They show you, you know, how many impressions, so in other words, how many times your ad was seen, which costs you nothing, and how many times the ad was clicked, which, you know, they calculated. But to your point, if you're just relying on them to tell you, oh, it spent, you know, you got 100 clicks today and it cost you $100, how do you really know? Well, that is really a very important question, because what you should do before you do any kind of advertising campaign is figure out what are you doing with the ads? Where are they clicking through to, and what do you want them to do that you can measure? For instance, if you're sending the ad to your website, you never would just send the ad to your homepage, for example, in either of these examples, in Facebook or Google. You would send them to a specific landing page with a specific call to action, and that could be buy the product. So if you're sending an ad for sunglasses to a page that has sunglasses, if they buy the sunglasses, you're able to put some tracking code on your site that will show that the ad converted to a transaction. If you're not selling a hardcore product, with some of our clients, some of our professional clients, what we do is we create like a downloadable ebook, let's say. So we're sending traffic to the download, and then we're able to, again, track to see, okay, we sent 100 people there, 10 people actually signed up for the ebook, so we had a 10% conversion rate. So you can totally track it, but you need to sort of reverse engineer it. Like, what is the objective of the ad? Create a page or an area on your site, and then send the ad traffic to that offer. It could be a coupon, let's say it's 10%. How many people take the action? You have to make them take an action so that then you can measure that against, you know, how much it. So then you wind up figuring out, oh, it cost me, $10 a download. It cost me $20 to make a sale. You know, it cost me, you know, $5 per client acquisition.
Any comment or any thoughts with regard to, you can count it for getting them to the website. Any thoughts with regard to what do I do as I'm trying to get them into my brick and mortar store?
Using pay-per-click?
Yes. So if I spend this money either on Google or Facebook, when it comes down to, if it is perhaps print this coupon and bring it into the store, but anything outside of that that's a, here's how we're going to measure is to, we're seeing foot traffic out of this?
Well, I think really, you know, a coupons or a discount is probably the easiest way to go. We have a tuxedo rental company here close by us who's a client, and we do pay-per-click for them. So we send them to we can switch this depending on the season. Right now, he's doing a coupon for prom season. So we're doing a prom-oriented campaign. We're targeting prom-oriented keywords and prom-oriented demographics on Facebook. So people who are of a certain age, you know, high school students or parents, are seeing that there's a discount, and then they go to the page and they have to download the coupon and bring it into the store. After prom season goes, you know, is over, then we're going to switch the campaign to weddings, and then there'll be an offer for for tux rentals for aimed at the wedding season. So coupons is a very easy way to do it.
Let me come back. We got to do the bottom of the hour break. Our habit is we take and play a song that we have knows has significant meaning to our guest. Our guest tonight, Gene Sower, who's president of Samson Media. They are a niche business dealing with aspects of keywords and demographics with Facebook and Google, and a little side bit of talking about the other social media for our business. How do we, in today's world, drive business to our businesses? And here's our quick station break. That's B.B. King. All right, now he's not a Jersey boy. I happen to know he's a Southerner. He is from Mississippi. But there's a good reason why you have picked him tonight, Gene. What's the reason for B.B.?
Well, sitting on top of the world, again, it's just sort of a very upbeat, you know, it's not an upbeat melody, but it has a very good connotation, and it just means, you know, being the master of your domain.
And it's a good song to, on a late evening, to, as summer comes, to sit outside and sit back and relax and listen to. So
absolutely.
Let me ask this one. Looking at ads and things, I think about people who run, I don't want to say it's a contest, but I've seen people who take and do things like, you mentioned the tuxedo rental. And if this is an accurate way of doing some measurements, where they say, you've rented a tuxedo from us, post your picture on Facebook, tag us in it, and share it. And then, is that a way businesses can measure? You know, and sometimes they say, hey, here's a something for you that we give you for having done so. But is that an effective way that people can get some attention? You know, I think like someone who says, you had us put in install new floors in your home, take a picture of it, tag our business in there and share it with your friends.
Well, that would be a pure social media play. And I think that, you know, that there's definitely, that can be a lot of fun. And I think, you know, that's being very creative. And I encourage people to do that kind of stuff. But I'm not sure that kind of thing really moves the needle in a big way. It's almost the difference between public relations and advertising. You know, getting a story, you know, in the paper has, you know, it has a lot of credibility. It can drive some traffic, but if you really want to reach people, you have to advertise. You have to buy ads. So I think things like that, because, okay, so let's say you do the contest or you do the, you know, take a picture and that kind of thing. You still have to get the word out about that. So it still comes down to advertising the contest.
Yeah, and again, as you had said, you're telling people you don't want to boost it. You need to take and do something that's buying the necessary out there to get it.
Yeah.
So picking this, the one of the focuses of the big focus I found in the blog that you had was we're looking at two different ways of getting people's attention, whether we're on Google or Facebook. One is using keywords. The other one's using demographics. So of the two, which one would you like to go down that avenue first?
Well, let's talk about Google first, because this, if your listeners get nothing out of, if they get one thing out of this whole show, it's this. The difference between Google and Facebook is the difference between keywords and demographics. So what I mean by that is when you're advertising on Google, you're basically bidding on keyword phrases. So it could be, you know, Wayfarer sunglasses or prom tuxedos or, you know, slim fit tuxedos, which is, you know, one of the things that, you know, my client is trying to attract, you know, the teens that are into slim fit. That's the new big thing. So they're going on to the search engine, in this case Google, and they're typing that in. So they're actively looking for that service. They don't know your name or your business. So they're just looking for slim fit tuxedos. They go to Google, and then, you know, my client wants to come up at the top of the page in the paid area. There's three paid ads at the top, and there's three paid ads at the bottom. So that and then everything else is organic in between. It's just like natural listings. So it's keyword driven, and it's very effective because obviously, the person is looking for what you offer. So I always say to my clients, you know, you want to position yourself to be the answer to the question. So in planning your Google pay-per-click campaign, you need to figure out what are the questions. What are your clients looking for? And that's part of what we do. We help you figure that out. We come up with, you know, we brainstorm a list. We do some research. We find out what the search volume is. Because you may say, oh, you know, I want to come up for, you know, slim fit tuxedos, just using that as an example, and there's actually no search volume. Nobody is actually looking for that. So what good did it do you to pursue that keyword? So that's part of the initial thing. We will come up with a solid list of keywords based on your wants and your needs. And then, you know, we put them into Google and, you know, set the bids up and the ads and all that. But so it's keyword driven. which is very effective, but it can also be very expensive. That's sort of the downside, and Google in general is a very expensive cost per click. It's usually, it can be anywhere from, you know, it's probably, it's all over the place, but, you know, the days of paying 50 cents for a Google pay-per-click are over. They're all like, you know, in the dollars range. It could be $3 to $5 to $10 to $15 a click. So, you know, you really have to plan carefully. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but that's why also why I tell clients, don't be selling a $50 item on Google because it may cost you $50 to make a $50 sale or $60 to make a $50 sale, and you can't make it up in volume, as the old joke goes. Now, with Facebook...
That's very true.
With Facebook, it's not keyword-based at all. It's completely demographic-driven. So you know, right, when you're on Facebook, you'll see an ad for this, that, or the other thing, and it's because of how you have self-identified yourself. So with Facebook advertising, when you set up the ad campaign, it's based on age, gender, hobbies, interests, income levels, and geography. Now, Google also has a geographic targeting thing that's amazing, but you understand the difference there. One is people are actively searching for whatever it is that you sell, and the other one, it's more interruption marketing. It's more almost the traditional TV ad where you're watching the baseball game, and all of a sudden there's another Toyota commercial, and you're not in the market for a car. So it's more of that. But you know, they've been able now on Facebook to not just be blasting out Toyota ads to everybody, but like the example I used in my blog post, if you're, let's say, selling gardening supplies, you can target people who have identified in their profile that they're into gardening. So it will show a gardening ad to people who are into gardening. The ad won't show up on somebody's site who's into motorcycle riding, unless they're into motorcycle riding and gardening. Then in that case, they would. So you see there's a major difference there in terms of, you know, the strategy, one being, you know, that you're targeting a type of person, the other one you're really targeting specific keywords.
Let's use your example of the guy with the tuxedos. And you said he's local, so he's in New Jersey. And you mentioned the niche of the slim fit tuxedos. If I type in slim fit tuxedo and I'm in Florida, is he going to come up for me?
No, absolutely not, because we've only done it for a 12-mile radius around Clifton, New Jersey, where he is based, because nobody's going to drive 25 miles to rent a tuxedo.
Okay. So within Google, you can cut me out of it. You've got a demographic measurement also that you can cut out certain things.
Yes, in Google and Facebook.
Okay, so now can I, is Google, if I'm traveling and I'm, you know, I'm somewhere in America and I want to do the slim fit tuxedo, do I have to come back and say slim fit tuxedo and name your community to get back into the ball game?
Yes, in Google.
Okay.
So if you were in Minnesota and typed in Slim Fit Tuxedo New Jersey or Slim Fit Tuxedo Clifton, then the ad would be served.
Okay. So
if you just typed in tuxedo, you know, prom tuxedo rental or Slim Fit in while you're in Minnesota, you know, it's only going to serve up the local businesses around there. You're basically forcing it to reach out into that geographic area to serve the ad back to you because you've specified you want to see, you know, results from that area.
Okay. So it's using a person like you who've got the skills to say, I know how to set up the parameters so that we're not talking to people in Hawaii and knowing there's no way we're going to get the business. What about, is there a way, is a safety lock that it keeps it to where someone who's multiple time clicking on it just to mess with you, but we're also stuck when we come to the situation of they're looking for something and it's just happened to be the wrong word, the wrong click.
Well, there is, There is a multiple click feature built in. If the same, you know, it's able to tell from the IP address within a certain. If it's all like when in the same few minutes, it won't keep charging it over. You can't click it like over and over and over, and it'll ring up the charge. But if you accidentally click an ad, absolutely, it'll cost you. And then, you know, you hear this all the time about, you know, competitors clicking on other competitors' ads just to, you know, make them pay.
Just to mess
so,
with them.
Yeah, okay. There's no getting around that.
So before we go for our last round with the HOLA, because we've got so many questions that we want to ask you about this stuff, and I guess it's kind of like the impossible dream of trying to take and say, Gene, all this knowledge you've had over all these years, can you cram it down in less than 60 minutes? And I guess that's kind of a doom from the start with. But as we do the program every month, we have a special guest, someone who's got some really niche expertise. And tonight's guest, here's a person who has come out of the independent retail world and has now found a very good niche that this is what he does. So if you're a business and you're looking for how do I get into the Facebook, how do I get into the Google AdWords, how do I do this, here's a person who has understanding of what we sell from the standpoint of being an independent retailer, those of us who also provide services, and yet now he comes to us as the mastermind for dealing with the things that we don't have knowledge. Yes.
I was going to say, can I say this? I've actually, because it is, there's so much involved in this, that what I did for your listeners is I put together basically a very quick read. It's a 12-page guidebook on deciding which is best for your business, Google AdWords or Facebook advertising. So this way, you know, you didn't have to take a lot of copious notes unless you wanted to. But if you go to samsonmedia.net/profitsplus, You can download basically all the things we're talking about tonight so that you can refer to it later on. It's samsonmedia.net/profitsplus.
And Profits Plus is done as one word, and when you get on the page, very creatively,
yep,
what you're going to see is what looks like a red price tag. You put your name and put your email address on there and click submit, and Gene will have this thing to you. Let's take a quick pause here. Let's talk about what's coming up next month. And our guest next month is going to be a repeat guest. The person who we're inviting to come back and join us is Mort Haas. And Mort is someone I've met lots and lots of years ago because he teaches one of the most important aspects of business management, and that's inventory control. Mort, are you there?
I am.
Well, thanks for sitting in with us tonight, and thanks for coming and being a part of our program next month. We appreciate that. And let me ask you just to give people a little bit of information about what are we going to talk about last night or next month past the we're talking inventory control.
Well, the biggest problem that retailers have is controlling their inventory, because if their inventory gets too high, then they get behind in their bills and they have problems, and it becomes a negative spiral. So we're going to talk about the process called open to buy, which is how a retailer can plan their buying so that they keep their inventory at the right level and the cash flow positive.
Great. And you've been at this a long time, haven't you?
Probably before most of your users were born. I got into retailing in 1967, and I developed my system in 1970, which was about 2% of what I offer to retailers today, but it worked and it saved my life. And then through other retail ventures, I continued to develop it, and then in 1985, I packaged it and started actually marketing it to retailers. And so it went from a paper-based system to software, and now it's on the Internet.
So what we're going to do is ask Mort to be one of those examples using the Mark Twain quote that we like to use a lot, and that is, a man who's had a cat by the tail knows a whole lot more than the man who has read about it. So with that many years of experience, almost, right at 50 years, Mort's got a lot of experience with understanding, using firsthand, and now today teaching how does inventory control work. And Mort, we will look forward to you being with us next month, bringing a lot of information. Of course, we will ask everybody, send us all your questions, and we will pose them to Mort for you. Mort, thanks for being with us tonight. Look forward to having you at the next program.
Thank you, Tom. I'm looking forward to it as well.
So that's Mort Haas coming back to join us, and Mort's going to talk to us about open to buy. But right now we're talking to Gene Sower, and we're talking about ad items of Google and Facebook. I think, Gene, one of the first things that people think of when you start thinking of all this stuff is they hear that acronym SEO, Search Engine Optimization. So where does that come into play with what you're telling us tonight?
Well, search engine optimization, it really relates to Google. That wouldn't really apply to Facebook. So it basically means trying to come up on those search results for free, not paying per click, where you have the three paid ads at the top, you have 10 results in the middle, and three at the bottom. So SEO is where you're trying to create content that is keyword rich that would come up in a search because it relates to the search term that was put into the little search box on Google. It's more of a longer term strategy too, because in order to be successful at SEO, it requires it's more of a it could take months in order for it to really start to kick in, because there's so much competition to try to, push your way into, there's only 10 results on page one. So, to try to get in there, it's a competitive thing, and you have to do lots of little things to sort of make that happen. And it's really slow and steady wins the race. You can't, Google is very watchful to make sure that people aren't trying to game the system, in which case the whole thing could really backfire on you, and they wind up, pushing further down the results. For instance, one of the big ranking factors is how many other sites link to your site. So there's lots of ways to do that. And one of the not good ways is by buying links. And there are lots of businesses out there that are happy to sell you links, and Google has a policy against that. If they find that you're buying links in order to, improve your SEO, they'll actually penalize your site. So
as you use that expression, gaming the system, are we also in a situation at the same time where both Google and Facebook are constantly changing the game, so it's one of these extreme challenges of being able to keep up with what are they changing now, what are they doing now, that it's not the same thing it was last week, last month, last year?
From an SEO standpoint, absolutely. But again, SEO doesn't apply to Facebook. But from a Google perspective, it's a constant, and we do a lot of SEO, and that's why we recommend a mix of SEO and advertising, because if you put a good SEO plan in place and it starts to become successful, you can actually cut back on your advertising. So we recommend it, sort of as a, a two-prong approach. You want to, do some SEO. You really want to always be doing some SEO, and then, there's ways to once you implement a program, there's ways to, keep it going on your own, such as blogging and things like that. And then if you want immediate results, if you want to start getting traffic tomorrow or today, you need to do, that's where you would do an advertising campaign on Google or Facebook or wherever, and you'll start getting traffic immediately. So it just depends, on what your needs are. Like I said earlier, if you have a special event or a sale or something, you can't wait 3 months for your SEO to kick in to get you on page one. You need it right away. So that's where, advertising comes in.
So as compared to in the past where we had things of television, radio, newspaper type stuff, and the factors were all very constant. This is like a evolving and continually moving target as to what do you have to do within Google and Facebook to keep yourself in the right place.
Absolutely. It's one of the things that keeps me up at night because you're basically playing in Google's, you're playing in their playground, and they can change the rules of the game. They can move the goalposts. They can take their ball and go home at any time. So it is tricky, the SEO business. I won't lie to you. It's very challenging, but it's also extremely rewarding because when we are successful, it's like, you know, I don't know if this is a good expression or not, but we often say we made the monkey dance.
Okay, good enough. Hey, the last 90 seconds of the program before I do the closing, the last 90 seconds of yours is yours to cover because there's a lot of things I did not get to ask you tonight. Have to save it for a future night. Please take and run with it.
Well, I would just say that, you know, having a website is not having a business, and that whatever you're doing, you need to have I think this is kind of preaching to the choir, but I think it needs to be said that every business needs to have a marketing budget, and you need to figure out how are you going to split that budget up between digital, non-digital, Google, Facebook, print, you know, whatever. And I'm a big fan of trying different things and then finding out what works and doing more of that.
And this is what keeps you going all day and all night long.
Pretty much.
So let me tell everybody one last time, thank you for joining us for the program tonight. This is the May 10th, 2018 version of Small Business Conversations brought to you from the folks at Profits Plus Solutions. It's a free service from us. Hope you visit our website, see all the new goodies that we have been adding. Our guest tonight, Gene Sower, president of Samson Media. He is in New Jersey. He's one of those, as we will refer to you from down here, Joysy boys. And his phone number is 973-744-6621. His website is Samson, that's spelled S-A-M-S-O-N, samsonmedia.net. And he has prepared for those who are listening to the program tonight, whether you're listening to it live or catching it later on, a special report. You go to his website, samsonmedia.net/profitsplus. And you put Profits Plus together as one word, differently than the way we do one long word, Profits Plus. And he has a report on what we've talked about tonight, as well as the things we didn't get to talk about tonight. And if you want to write to him, it's a very simple Gene, G-E-N-E, Gene at SamsonMedia.net. And with that being said, Gene, thank you. Thanks that you would take an hour off of your Thursday night to come be with us and share the information. Your presence has been greatly appreciated.
Thanks for having me. It really went fast.
It did. But you know, you and I would not last for a two-hour program. One's enough for all of us. So everybody,
absolutely.
Thanks for being with us. Glad you all were here. We'll talk to you again soon.
It has been our pleasure to share fresh ideas and trends from premier small business owners, coaches, and resources. Join Tom Shea and guests next month right here on Smart Business Conversations from Profits Plus Solutions. This is PBN, the Profitable Business Network.